Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 What number have we got?
27.
27? Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, text number 27. Etad vimana pravaram uttama shloka molina upastapitam ayushman adirodhum tvamarhasi etad vimana pravaram uttama shloka molina upastapitam ayushman adirodhum tvamarhasi.
Etad-vimana-pravaram
uttama-shloka-molina
upastapitam-ayushman
upastapitam-ayushman
adirodham-tvam-arhasi
etad-this
Vimana,
aeroplane,
pravaram,
unique,
uttama
shloka,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
molina,
the by the head of all living entities,
upastapitam,
sent.
Ayushman.
O immortal one. Adirodhum. To board. Tvam. You. Arhasi.
Are worthy.
O immortal one, this unique airplane has been sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by selected prayers, and who is the chief of all living entities. You are quite worthy to board such a plane. Purport. According to astronomical calculation, who is in charge of the maintenance of this material world resides Sishuma, or Dhruvaloka, can never be reached by anyone but the Vaishnavas, as will be described by the following shlokas. The associates of Lord Vishnu brought the special airplane for Dhruva Maharaj and then informed him that Lord Vishnu had especially sent this airplane. The Vaikuntha airplane does not move by mechanical arrangement. There are three processes for moving in outer space. One of the processes is known to the modern scientist. It is called Kapota Vayu. Ka means outer space, and Pota means ship. There is a second process, also called Kapota Vayu. Kapota means pigeon. One can train pigeons to carry one into outer space. The third process is very subtle. It is called Akasha Patana. This Akasha Patana system is also material. Just as the mind can fly anywhere one likes without mechanical arrangement, so the Akasha Patana airplane can fly at the speed of mind. Beyond this Akasha Patana system is the Vaikuntha process, which is completely spiritual. The airplane sent by Lord Vishnu to carry Dhruva Maharaj to Shishumara was a completely spiritual transcendental airplane. Material scientists can neither see such vehicles nor imagine how they fly in the air. The material scientist has no information about the spiritual sky, although it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Parastasmat tu bhavanyo. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenaha Tasmahe Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadatisva Patamtikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatayanam. So, what a personality, or what a character Dhruva Maharaj is, in that he is such a great devotee that the Lord himself commissions his associates the Vishnu Dutas, right? The Vishnu Dutas to personally bring his Viman, although I don't know. Here. Viman Pravaram. Etad Vimana Pravaram. And what's this? It's Vimana means aeroplane. Pravaram means unique. So unique. This kind of aeroplane you don't see landing at the Tullamarine Airport. Or the Essendon Airport. This is a very, very special. It's a specially commissioned, specially and it's unique because it has been sent, upastapitam, sent by Uttama Shloka Molina. Uttama Shloka Molina means the supreme person. Uttama Shloka means that personality who's praised by transcendental shloka. Right? Ut means above. Ut and tama means darkness. Uttamam, above darkness. And shloka, we all know what a shloka is, right? We all know what a shloka is. A shloka is a what we just recited, a prayer. So this is a very special aeroplane, or here Prabhupada translates as unique, Pravaram. This unique. Why is it unique? Because it's been sent by Krishna to. And in one sense, this is good news for us, or this is an indication of the what awaits us at the time of death. Nothing to be feared, right, for a devotee. Krishna will send his. And we may not think ourselves a very qualified devotee, or we might think we're a qualified devotee. but if, and especially at the time of death, we're going to be feeling that we're very unqualified. But still, we know that the Vishnu Dutas are very kind. And Lord Vishnu himself is very kind to the devotees. If we look at the example of Ajamil was chanting the name of Narayan, but he was still a rather sinful fellow. But because he was chanting, then Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sent his Vishnu Dutas. Initially, he was to be. The Yamadutas came, the messengers of, or the carriers of death, right? Like Prabhupada travelled on the Jaladuta, right? The water carrier, I suppose, or the boat, basically, the boat from Kolkata. Was it Kolkata Prabhupada left? Yeah, Kolkata. Yeah, and the boat carried him across the Arabian Sea, and then through the Suez Canal, and through the Mediterranean, and then across the Atlantic. So originally, the Yamadutas came to get Ajamil. Because he was a sinful person, but he was chanting Hare Krishna. Well, he was chanting the name of Narayan. Right? Nam Nam Makari Bahudaha Nija Sarva Shaktis. So the Lord has given all of his potency, Sarva Shakti, in his name. Huh? And so, because of that potency, the potency of chanting the Lord's name, then the Vishnu Dutas came to collect Ajamil. So, here we see a similar circumstance where the Vishnu Dutas now. Let's have a look here. This is Nanda and Sunanda, very confidential associates of Lord Vishnu. Bo Bo Rajan Subhadram Te. Right. Good fortune unto you. So the good fortune is that for the devotees, that those who chant the name of the Lord will be elevated, are elevated This is the benefit of associating with the devotees. That one gets the mercy of, well, what is it? Yasya prasadan. By the mercy of the Lord, nagati kutopi, one gets the ultimate destination. But the mercy of the Lord is manifest in the presence of the devotees. Right? This is the Lord's mercy. And Krishna mentions, you know, there are those who say that they are my devotees. But they are not my devotees. Those who are my devotees are the devotees of my devotees. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj was very fortunate because he got the association, well, firstly, of his mother. Because we know that Dhruva Maharaj was initially motivated really by just a material desire to overcome the insult of not being allowed to sit on his father's lap. Right? He was upset. Why can't I sit on my father's lap? Because his mother wasn't the favoured queen. So his motivation for making spiritual advancement was initially somewhat material. Actually, probably completely material. But his mother gave him the instruction that if you want to fulfill your desires, in order to fulfill your desires, you need to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the sages and the saintly persons go to the forest to achieve their goals. And so that's what he did. He went to the forest. And of course, in the forest, he met the most wonderful of devotees, Narada Muni. And because of that association and the advice given by Narada Muni, he got the name, basically the mantra. He got the mantra. And by chanting that mantra, he became perfect. Of course, he also performed great austerities in the process. So we're also chanting the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. And Krishna looks very kindly on those devotees who chant his name, call out to him. He's very affectionate to those who take shelter of him. And of course, not that we're so great because we're chanting Hare Krishna. We are great in one sense because of the association that we get. And of course, getting the association of Srila Prabhupada effectively is what makes us. If we're great, it's because we follow in the footsteps of the great, right? Not because we're so good. So, Dhruva Maharaj showing the example. Even if one is materially motivated, if one follows the instructions of the devotees, of the pure devotees, like he was following the order of Narada Muni. So similarly, we're following the order of Srila Prabhupada, then this is... this will be also our good fortune. Krishna will send his Vimana Pravaram, his unique aeroplane, to take us back home, back to Godhead. You know, there's that song, there's a Christian song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming to take me home. You heard that song? You haven't heard that song? I think it's from American. It's American culture, so maybe in Germany you don't get that exposure. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to take me home. So this is it's not just Hindu culture. It's within all cultures. Ultimately, you know that God will bless His servants, His devotees, if you like, and He'll take them back home, back to Godhead. And that he's very kind to his devotees. That he gives them this facility, special facility. Prabhupada mentions Ka Potavayu, a ship that flies in outer space. And you know, you need this unique kind of aeroplane. Basically given to us by the fact that we're chanting Hare Krishna. To travel through what really is, you know, impossible or impossible. And it's mentioned here, the Vaikuntha aeroplane does not move by mechanical arrangement. Well, you don't have to put on a seatbelt, you know, and listen to the safety sign. You know, in the unfortunate but unlikely event, right? Then they tell you, you know, follow the route here to get out. And I keep on thinking every time I hear that, this is ridiculous, you know. If you're in that situation, you won't. It's not like you'll have an orderly, you know, passage out of the, and be able to put on a life jacket and get into a raft, and it all sounds totally implausible. It's going to be, if you're in that situation, it's a disaster. So no such thing in these Vaikuntha aeroplanes, right? Because it doesn't travel by material means. It travels by spiritual sound vibration on the mantras of the transcendental associates of the Lord is the vehicle that takes us back home, back to Godhead. And for the materialists, this is totally implausible. So Prabhupada talks about there's a ship that carries us through outer space, a second process which just completely what shall we say? Implausible for the materialists, right? One can train pigeons to carry one into outer space. There has to be a lot of pigeons, right? And we just couldn't even imagine such a thing. This is this kind of statement in the Vedas is just completely inconceivable for a materialistic mind. And then the third process, Prabhupada says, is very subtle. Akasha Patana, right? Traveling with the mind through space. Yeah. That is desirable. Right. That is, it would make travel quite easy. But could you imagine? You just sit in one place and then meditate on Mayapur and then poof, you're there. No passports or no baggage allowances to worry about. But then Prabhupada says there is another system. So these are these three are somewhat material. But then there's another system, the Vaikuntha process, which is completely spiritual. Right? That's the process that we're all attempting now. Isn't it? When you think about it, that's what we're doing. We are preparing ourselves to be carried by Lord Vishnu or by Krishna to the spiritual world in one of these airplanes. What is it called? Vimana Pravaram. Unique airplane. Created by the head of all living entities, Molina. Uttama Shloka, Molina. He said, Upastapitam Ayushman, to become immortal. Because we're already immortal. Huh? But we're trying to qualify ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna so that we can be eligible to enter into this vehicle, this transcendental vehicle, the spiritual vehicle. And Prabhupada says here, this is the Vaikuntha process, which is completely spiritual. Transcendental aeroplane. Material, Prabhupada says here, material scientists, but just anybody with a material bent, can neither see such vehicles nor imagine how they fly in the sky, in the air. So we hear about the Bhagavad, we hear about the spiritual sky from the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says here. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha. And we've also heard of the spiritual realm. And because of having faith in the order of the spiritual master and following those orders by chanting Hare Krishna, then we get an opportunity to also step on board this Vaikuntha aeroplane and go back home, back to Godhead. And so, that's our qualification basically is to chant Hare Krishna. Right, this is the final word in the solution of all of our problems. Right? Chant Hare Krishna, and in that way we can be eligible to. Isn't it said in here? It's mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead in the same form. Is that right? I think it's later on. So you know, the Prabhupada gives the example of how if you take an iron rod and you put it in the fire and you heat it up and heat it up and heat it up, then the iron rod acts like fire, even though it's, you know, ordinarily an iron rod is just dull metal. You can't start fires with a piece of iron, right? But if you put the iron in the fire and heat it up, heat it up and heat it up and heat it up, then you can, whatever you touch with the, what would normally just be dull matter or dull metal, you can start fires with it because it's been associated with the fire. So similarly also, our process is that we associate with the Lord in the form of his name. And by that association, daily chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, every day, then by that association, the Lord and his name are the same, right? Non-different. Although Rupa Goswami warns us, our tongues are afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance, avidya, right? So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes it feels so tough, right? So rough, so hard. But that's just because we're afflicted by the material disease of avidya, of ignorance, right? And because of that disease, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we have difficulty appreciating sometimes the potency of what we're doing. But by that constant association, just as the metal in the fire changes into fire, practically speaking, or it acts like fire, so similarly also, by that constant association with the Lord through chanting his names, we become spiritualized, purified. And by that purification, our actions, even though it appears that we're performing material activities, right? We're not. Just like Prabhupada mentions, the deity in the temple looks like stone. But are we worshipping stone? Well, no. Or wood? Or metal? Are we? We're not. We're worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we know ultimately that the source of everything is spiritual. And when we use those apparently material elements in the service of the Lord, then it's not material anymore. What we're doing is, you know, when you walk into the front gate of 197 Dank Street, you step out of the material world and into the spiritual world. Right? And we've discussed it. People tell us something about this place that's special. Huh? One of our neighbours, when we used to live in Dank Street, one of our neighbours, he's a builder, and he would drive down the alleyway that's right next to our place. And he used to say to my wife, "Oh, the smells that come out of your house." Because the kitchen's right next to the alleyway, well, used to be. Right? And so I guess when a chinchuripa is cooking, then he could smell the fragrance of the offering and the probably the incense too. Right? So when people walk past the temple, they can smell all of these things. Think, ooh, that's a special place. What's going on in there? Right? Especially at this time of the day, if it's a little settled, there's no wind. After the deities have been dressed and there's greeting the deities, then you can smell the incense when you walk in the front gate. Have you noticed that? We walk into the temple and we think, oh, back at the temple again. Huh? So we don't even notice it anymore. That means you've already become a resident of Vaikuntha when you walk in the front. You don't even notice the difference. You're already on the transcendental platform. But other people who don't, have never, you know, they don't relish that experience. When they walk in the front gate, they say, whoa, this is different. They notice the difference. So the devotees, by constantly associating with the Lord, by constantly worshipping, by the prayers of the devotees, by the prayer of Srila Prabhupada, we take the what appears to be material elements and even material consciousness, we change it into spiritual. This is kind of the Vaikuntha process. Right? What we're doing is not a... it appears, you know, to ignorance. Because we're afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance. What is sweet tastes bitter. Right? So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we think, oh, this is too hard. I can't do it. Or even sometimes we don't do it. But it is a purely spiritual experience. Very difficult for even the devotees to appreciate sometimes, due to that avidya. But by the mercy of the devotees, if we stay in the association of the devotees, then even though we may not be qualified, by that practice of bhakti, bhakti-rena, bhakti-yogena, right? Keshava mentioned this verse. Akama sarakama uva. Whether you're free from desire or full of desire, right? If one follows the process of bhakti, then even though we may be unable to appreciate because we do appreciate it, that's why we're here and why we're practicing. This cannot be appreciated by the materialists and sometimes not appreciated by the devotees. But Rupa Goswami says, that's all right. Well, not that that's all right. He warns us, that's normal. But he says, the essence of all advice is to chant the holy names of the Lord 24 hours a day. Right? Well, we're not able to do that. Anybody here able to chant 24 hours a day? This is the essence of all advice. This is what we should do. We're not able to follow that. But at least we can chant. And Prabhupada's given us a concession, 16 rounds. Traditionally, 64 rounds was the standard. But Prabhupada could see that the residents of Kali Yuga, 64 rounds, they couldn't sit still for that long. Although there are some devotees who promote, yes, this is the real standard, we should be chanting 64 rounds. We're not really devotees if we don't chant 64 rounds, right? Fair enough, we're not devotees. We'll accept that. But we'll at least stick to Prabhupada's advice, instructions. This is the key to gaining entrance into the spiritual world, and it happens on the spiritual platform that we're sometimes not able to appreciate. Certainly the materialists cannot appreciate. So, does anybody have any comments or questions on anything related to what we've been talking, discussing? Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.